right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is retired economics professor and former president of MATC Faculty Local 212, Dr. Michael Rosen. And he really is making a point that you're not hearing anywhere else. We're not hearing. There were some people who spoke in opposition early on at the Common Council, yeah, who said, well, we're not going to have the Republicans come here. But that was hushed up. And whoever spoke in opposition was kind of gotten back in line. And then the answer was full speed ahead. Dr. Rosen, you are laying out some points that have not been broached or talked about, why this is not the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, as I said, the economics of it don't work. And this $200 million is an inflated number that won't happen. And most importantly, the benefits of national conventions do not result in increased employment or increased wages for working people in the city. So the economics of it don't work. But there's also a political dimension to this that I think we need to talk about. And that is that the current Republican Party, and I do distinguish it from even the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan, where certainly there were dog whistle racism. But the current Republican Party has openly courted white supremacist organizations, the Proud Boys, the Ku Klux Klan.
Oath Keepers.
You know, Donald Trump courted these people when they were in Charlottesville chanting, "Jews right. will not replace us." He called them some very good people. A recent survey indicates that 66% of Republicans, not just the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, but 66% of Republicans now ascribe to the racist replacement theory. That is that there are people in this country trying to replace white people with immigrants and other people
right.
of color.
66%.
And even in Buffalo, where a white supremacist young man,
went into a grocery store,
killed 10 black African American people, GOP leaders, they condemned the killing, but not the white supremacist ideology that the killer professed. In short, the Republican Party today doesn't even try to hide behind the dog whistle euphemisms that it used to use, and rather it's given full throated voice to the revolting and un-American neo-Nazi beliefs. These are neo-Nazi beliefs. By the way, it came out in the paper today that President Trump, when he was in office, said to General Milley that why don't the generals, like Hitler?
Yes.
Even though Hitler's generals actually, at least from the historical record, weren't as subservient as Trump wanted. But the fact is that Republican-controlled states like Wisconsin, which is today there's a major article in the New York Times about that documents kind of the craziness going on, but they have promoted the twin lies of voter fraud and stolen election, and they've targeted the city of Milwaukee.
You're right.
To get it back to the convention. They've tried to say that the votes in the city of Milwaukee were illegal votes and therefore should be thrown out, and the election of Joe Biden should be decertified. And we're welcoming that party into a city that is a majority minority city. They're going to bring the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and the KKK and neo-Nazis with them. They're going to be marching in our streets. The experience in Charlotte, where they hosted a Republican convention, was that they ended up in debt. And Milwaukee cannot afford to end up in debt because for security purposes, and yet there's going to be massive security downtown because there will be large demonstrations exactly because of the Republican treatment of the city of Milwaukee. And you're creating a very volatile situation in the city.
So, Dr. Rosen, what do you say to people who say you're being an alarmist? You know, this is not true. This is you got to give this a chance, and you know, like the new mayor said, bipartisanship. There's nothing bipartisanship about saying yes, the Republicans can come here. I mean,
no, that's bipartisanship is working
together,
working to pass a bill that
will give the city an opportunity.
Well,
the
example of bipartisanship would have been if the Republicans had voted for the Inflation Reduction Bill,
right,
or voted to help the veterans, which they ultimately did, but only after first voting down the bill and throwing a hissy fit about it. The fact is that the Republican Party nationally and in the state has not shown any desire to be bipartisan. Look, as soon as Governor Evers was elected and Josh Call was elected, the Republican Party in this state stripped them of their powers that they had been very happy
to give under
Scott Walker.
Right,
had.
Right.
Okay. So there's been no bipartisanship. So to think that us hosting the convention will cause the leopard to change its spots is naive at best. What I think, and this is just projection, and people can disagree with me, but what I think is the Republicans wanted to be in Milwaukee because it's a critical swing state. Some people call it the blue wall.
Right.
And they're going to come here and parade around as a party of diversity, even though they have stripped voting rights all over the country,
right,
even though they've gerrymandered in a way that disenfranchises black and brown citizens, and that's well documented. But they will throw some money around. They'll parade different candidates around, black and brown candidates, and all they will be attempting to do is flip 10,000, 11,000 votes. You know, given that Biden won by 21,000, all you've got to flip is 11,000 votes. And that's why they want to be here. In fact, they said that. Rice Priebus said when they got the convention, he said, yeah, Wisconsin is a swing state. Now, we haven't heard that from Democratic elected officials. They keep saying, oh, we're going to make a lot of money on this, and this will get the Republicans to work with us. But the Republicans have admitted, we want to be here because it's a swing state, and we want to win Wisconsin in 2020.
You know, Dr. Rosen, I have seen via radio that's here now on different radio stations, and the fact that they Republicans put a political office right in the heart of Black Milwaukee on Dr. King Drive. They have made some inroads with some black leadership in this community, and as you stated, all it takes is a handful,
right?
And they are starting to swing that. And I've said this to many Democrats: are you aware of what's taking place, and what is your pushback on that? Because if you said 11,000 votes, mm-hmm, that's a drop in the bucket.
That's right.
And if you see exactly what the conservative movement is doing and buying some black leadership and doing these types of things, there's too much at stake, right? I mean, there really is too much at stake.
Here's how to think about what's at stake. Recently, Senator Ron Johnson said that he wanted to make Social Security and Medicare discretionary.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. Yeah.
Now, what that means, the discretionary budget is only about 33% of the total federal budget. The non-discretionary items, those are items that principally Medicare and Social Security, those are items that if you qualify, you are entitled to those benefits. And it's not up to the Congress. The Congress can't just decide one year, oh, we're not going to give early
Social
Security.
No, you put the money in that.
You work for it. Yes. You invested in it, and it is by right yours. Plus, it's the humane thing.
Right.
The whole purpose of Social Security and Medicare was to ensure that people who have devoted their lives to working in this country and building this country and serving this country have a dignified old age,
right.
A golden age period. The only reason to move those to discretionary, that is where they are evaluated every year, is to cut them.
Right.
That's the only reason. We talked about Ronald Reagan earlier. Part of discretionary spending is defense spending. Under Reagan, defense spending
skyrocketed,
but he slashed the other areas of discretionary spending, including veterans benefits, including education, including some discretionary health care programs. He cut them by 13%. The only reason that Ron Johnson or anybody would want to put these programs on, make them discretionary, is so they could be cut and be assured that if the Republicans controlled the federal government, that is the executive branch and the legislative branch, that they would cut Social Security and Medicare, because that has been their goal since Social Security was established.
Dr. Rosen, we got to leave it there. We'll see you back in 2 weeks. Dr. Michael Rosen, really appreciate it.
We'll see
you. Got to go to a break.
Bye-bye.
Be right back.